This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Yeah, I'm laughing because we're having a good time in the studio because 5-on-3 is back, and that's amazing. This is Nick Palmer with both of our Devils beat reporters. My goodness. James Burley, Tucker Austin. We've got LP Lydia Perner, the Ranger defender behind the glass.
She plays defense for the Rangers now?
I mean, hey, after what Keandre Miller just pulled last night, they might need her. We'll get into that and more. I like doing this with you guys every so often, maybe every 4 or 5 episodes. How you're feeling today? Describe it in terms of an NHL team and how they're doing this season.
Ooh.
Mm.
Okay. So think about the day you've had. Hmm. And then think about how that corresponds to a team. LP, I want you to do this as well. You can chime in. We're good on the mic? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Yeah, let's start with whoever's ready.
I can go first. I want to peel it back to a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I was not doing so great. It was some bad news around. There's some big events that happened, and I wasn't so happy about the outcome of said events.
Mm.
And now things have kind of turned around. I'm doing a little bit better this week, and that kind of reminds me of the New Jersey Devils in a way, because they could have been better a week ago, and now this week they're doing real hot. So I take the easy answer and pick the team I pay attention to the most and force it to fit to my narrative there. So, yeah, doing well.
Tuck, you got an answer?
Yeah, and I think it's actually going to connect to our segment at the end where we talk about teams that didn't make the postseason last season but will make the postseason this year. Mm. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Wild. Because they're sitting at 2 in the Central Division right now. They're kind of in a weird spot. Last year, they didn't really play hockey that much. They kind of just skated around. This year, they're up to something. And, you know, given that I'm going to be calling, I'm going to be giving the color commentary on women's basketball later today.
Go listen.
I'm feeling a little antsy, a little bit excited, a little bit nervous. And that's how I feel the Minnesota Wild find themselves right now. High in the standings. Riding pretty high, but after a season like last year, kind of a little bit anxious about what's in store for the rest of the year.
I like that. Lydia, what's your answer? And don't say the Rangers.
I forget what the question was. Can you repeat it?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay. If I was to be an NHL team today, depending on how I was feeling.
Like me, or am I answering like what?
You're answering
you?
For yourself.
Oh, okay.
I would be, and this is the only time I'm going to say this, I'd be the Philadelphia Flyers. You think about their recent stretch of games, all right? They beat the Blues 2-1, you lose to the Bruins, you lose to the Canes, and you lose to the Lightning and the Panthers. But you beat the Sharks and you beat the Senators, and you're going into Buffalo tomorrow, and you're not that far out of the picture. Listen, right now I'm beating the teams I'm supposed to beat, and that's what matters at the end of the day if you want to stay competitive. So that's how my day is going. I'm beating the teams that I need to beat, and that'll do. That'll do for today. Lydia Perner, what's going on with you and what team are you?
Well, I don't see why I can't say the Rangers, because if you think about what they've been doing recently, I accidentally woke up at like 8 o'clock this morning. So that was bad, right? So there's your bad. But then my day got better because I had a nice conversation on the phone with my dad. There's your win, right? But then my day got worse again because then I had to go to class. There's your next loss, because there's no consistency. You play a bad game, you play a great game, you play a bad game. And now we're back, we're here, so I guess it's my good again. And then now I got to go to class after this, so it's bad. It's just, it's like the ups and downs of the Rangers.
And what part of your day correlates with Filipino likely having a concussion?
I'm trying to think how to respond to this.
That's fine.
It's not confirmed.
It's not confirmed.
Lively
didn't
really comment on that last night. And I think you can assume by the way Hedl hit the ice that it's not looking too
hot. How many times has he been concussed now? 4 times?
3
times?
Last year, the whole season, I think Columbus a few years ago against, so maybe 2-3. Or this might be the third or fourth,
I think this is 4.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into hockey. Thank you all for your thoughtful answers. Let's talk a little bit around the league before we dive into our trio of teams. Let's talk about... Every hockey conversation begins and ends with Connor McDavid. He finally got to 1,000 points, which, I mean, do
we... Finally. Do we, took him long enough.
Do we give Connor McDavid a round of applause on 5-on-3, or does he not deserve it?
Yeah, he's not, like, the greatest player of our lifetimes at all. Like,
I don't care. Why? I think...
I'll shout him out. I'm not gonna get. I'm not shout gonna sit here and give him applause. But like, we'll shout out
there
to Jesus.
There you go, Devo. Yeah. Shout out. he buried a one timer.
Pretty, pretty good.
He buried a one timer from, of course, who else but Leon Draisaitl on a 2-on-1. He's 27 years old and he's now the 99th player to reach 1,000 points and the fourth fastest to get there in 659 games. Can you name the three players who did it faster?
Gretzky.
That's one.
Lemieux.
That's two.
Based on that smile, I don't.
I feel really bad because I'm actually looking at it on my mon- like on my screen right now. So I was gonna give answers like I just knew off the top of my head, but that wouldn't be fair.
It's Mike Bossy.
Yeah, Mike Bossy.
Gretzky
did it at 23. Gretzky did it 4 years earlier than McDavid.
Couldn't lift the puck though. just kidding. So he's the fourth to do it playing for the Oilers. Connor McDavid's good. What else do you want me to say?
Yeah.
The sun comes up in the morning.
No, we're really lucky to be living in a time where we get to watch him play. I mean, not to take anything away from, you know, who we watched in childhood. You know, the Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry was a great thing for the NHL to have.
And they're both still great.
And absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that, what I'm saying is I'm not going to take anything away from that. But to see what McDavid's been able to do, I believe it took Crosby fair amount of time longer to get to 1,000 points for one,
right.
And this is McDavid. For most of this time in Edmonton has really been alone. He didn't get his Draisaitl, his equivalent of Crosby's Malkin, until much later than Crosby got Malkin. So this has been largely a one man project in Edmonton for a really long time. You know, some good players next to him have come and gone. Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins has been there for a while, but
he's been
in and out in terms of how good he's been. Connor McDavid really is the poster child of the NHL, and he's earned every bit of that. And I know people like to criticize his personality or lack thereof at times, but he's been one of the best ambassadors for this game. And the fact that he is this good is just a constant reminder of how lucky we are to be able to watch him.
Tucker, yeah, absolutely. Is Devo good?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
there's really not much else you can say about it. You know, he just is that good. And he didn't stop there either. I mean, like, he got his 1,001st point later in that game in overtime with a behind the back, no look pass to Darnell Nurse that just, like, cross ice. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And he was also down with an injury like a week ago.
Yeah, his ankle.
And he comes off like nothing happened, comes back, doesn't miss a beat, picks up his 1,000th point.
Do.
Yeah, and he's going to roll along for the rest of the season, racking up plenty of points.
Speaking of milestones, Vasilevsky, he's the fastest goaltender to 300 wins. Not to mention in that game, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Winnipeg Jets, which is interesting considering that without contest, the Winnipeg Jets have been the best team in the NHL thus far. He's the 40th goalie to ever hit the milestone, and he did in 490 games, which breaks the record set by Jacques Plante, which was 521 games. He's 30 years old, and let me just read you his resume real quick.
He's only 30?
Yeah.
Wow.
He has a Vezina in 2019. He's won two Stanley Cups, and he won the Conn Smythe in 2021. Mm-hmm. Is Vasilevsky already a Hall of Fame goaltender?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with a record like this, that's a Hall of Fame level record. You know, like you'll see it on his plaque. It'll be like fastest goalie to 300 wins.
Yeah.
So. No, I don't think there's any question. I know people have liked to, they're kind of pushing Vasilevsky out of their top 10 goalies list more and more so as each year passes. Because
I don't know how.
Well, let's face it, like his numbers the past two seasons haven't been as good as they were when Tampa were winning cups.
Well, Tampa's not as good either.
Tampa's not as good.
Playoff Vasy's a different
playoff Vasilevsky. is a different animal, but the Lightning have been a little underwhelming in playoff series the past two seasons as well.
Yeah, because their team sucks.
Because their team's not as good. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, though, there's a reason why the NHLPA, they do these rankings every year, and they interview all the players who are members and say, hey, who is the best goalie in the league? And Vasilevsky typically trends in the top three.
Right.
He commands this respect around the league. People know he's a winner, and I'm just now remembering that he's 30 years old. That's remarkable to have won all that. Especially as a goaltender. Goaltenders typically don't start out so young in the NHL compared to a lot of the other skaters that we see. Mm-hmm. And for him to still be within the top 10 of starting goalies in the NHL this year with 6.1 goals saved above expected, that's a little bit around 0.5 gave goals saved above expected per 60. That's one of the best metrics of that in the league. This is according to MoneyPuck.com. Again, we don't always know everything that goes into these algorithms, but they exist for a reason, and they tell us that Vasilevsky continues to be one of the best goalies in the league. And if I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'd do a lot to hold on to him for a long time.
Well, in that win, it was a big win for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were 0-3-1 in their last four games. Playing the Winnipeg Jets, Jake Guentzel scores twice in that game. I'm worried about the Lightning. Like, low-key, I know they got off. I know they've been struggling, but Jake Guentzel makes a difference on that team. Vasi makes 23 saves in that game. Let's move on to the Devils, because I have two Devils beat reporters sitting right in front of me, and that's too many if you ask me. No, I'm just kidding. You guys have beat Florida twice in 3 days. That's not unnotable. Florida just won the Stanley Cup, for anyone who hasn't been watching hockey in the last year.
In Sunrise, too.
How about it? And the last game, 6-2. That's a statement win. Bratt gets his second NHL hat trick. Hischier, Jack Hughes, they each had three assists.
Yeah, I think Hischier had a 3-point night on Tuesday, and then Jack had his 3-point night last night, I'm pretty sure.
Right. The bottom line is, you're 5-1-0 in your last six games. Jake Allen put up a
good
performance for you.
And the one was dumb. The one was so dumb. That Sharks loss should not have happened. A home loss, 1-0. Like, come on. Like, that's not what this Devils team is, you know? Like, this should have been, like, a six-game win streak. But, you know, instead it's 1-5-6. So,
right.
Like, they cherry-pick, like, I think, like, 8-9, I think it is right now. So, still just incredible, minus the Sharks loss.
James, this Devils team is performing.
Yeah, and it goes back to that Western road trip that I think we talked about last time on the show. It started around Halloween. They went into Vancouver, won 6-0. Big statement win there, and then they followed that up with a really tight game against the Flames that was 0-0 until the final 6 or 7 minutes, and then they lose 3-0, empty net goals galore. In the end of that one, Blake Coleman starts to scoring, former Devils legend. And then they go to Edmonton, and admittedly, without Connor McDavid on the ice, they do play really good defensive hockey. They get outshot, pretty similar to what game one of this little two-game span in Florida looked like, where they get outshot, they get outskated, but they come away with a good win, play good defensive hockey, get goals at the right time. They win 3-0. So three shutouts in Western Canada. Two of them go their way, one goes the other way.
Yeah.
Then they come home to Montreal, just a strong win. They steal one, absolutely steal one from the Islanders in overtime. I don't know how that got.
That
away
was
from
that was
Sorokin.
A retribution win though,
because
the Islanders stole one in the Devils'
early
barn.
In the season.
So
right, and with four minutes left, two late goals to tie it, win it in overtime, and then that Sharks game that you mentioned. Before we even get into Florida, I was at that Sharks game. Everyone kind of got the sense going into it. The Devils have been playing some of their best hockey to this point. They've been stealing games where they don't deserve it. I think this is the trap game to the Sharks. They're playing a back to back. We know how this team plays on back to backs. The vibes were not high going into that game. First period, they got outworked. They lost the first period. It ended 0-0, but they lost the first period. The second period, they gave up that horrible kick-in goal by Timo Meier.
Timo Meier, game-winning goal.
Game-winning goal for the Sharks against the Devils. Just kicked it in. An empty netter, unfortunate own goal on Timo Meier that I'm not sure who they credit it to. I think maybe Nico Sturm. But regardless, the goaltender for that game was Mackenzie Blackwood. Everybody was convinced that Mackenzie Blackwood was going to put up a performance and get the win. And not only did he do that, he had a 44-save shutout.
That's ridiculous. So,
I saw someone on social media said, like, he's going for 40 saves tonight.
He wanted it.
There we are.
He wanted it.
To be fair,
a lot of those saves weren't difficult. But that's kind of something that I always credited Blackwood for when he was a Devil, was that he made a lot of difficult looking saves look easy. He was the kind of guy who squared up to the puck really good, was a mobile goaltender, and I think he did a really good job of that against the Devils. Hats off to him. It was a retribution game for the Devils against the Islanders, a retribution game for Mackenzie Blackwood coming back to New Jersey. Shout out to him. He lived in my hometown when he was a Devil, like three blocks away from me. I used to see him walking his dog.
Oh, cool.
So I'm happy for him. I'm unhappy for the Devils putting up 44 shots to the Sharks 27 and still losing 1-0. But they didn't make it hard enough on Blackwood. Credit to him where it's deserved, but they could have done better. Then they go to Florida. I thought they looked bad for most of that game on Tuesday, actually.
Yeah, Tuesday was definitely the rougher of the two.
But that third period, the way they defended in that third period, they go up 1-0. It's tied 1-1. That could have been the turn the tides completely. Instead, they fight for every inch in that game. They go up 2-1. Paul Cotter with an absolute howitzer into the top shelf, and then they take that game. And that was with Jake Allen in goal, who's been phenomenal as a backup.
It was Markstrom on Tuesday. It was Allen last night,
who has been arguably even better than Markstrom this year, except for that 1-8 goal loss. And they take it to, and I thought they were the better team all night last night. I think from start to finish.
Paul Maurice said that Florida didn't show up, which is not to discredit the Devils for putting together a good performance. Beating the Florida Panthers on any occasion, even if they don't show up, is a heck of a task.
I think the growth between those two games said a lot for me.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
Man advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the power play.
Yeah,
real quick.
Special teams in general, power play and penalty kill. The Devils are going off right now.
I think they've three for five. What's the streak on penalty kills right now?
It's north of 20 at least. I think it's like 23 or maybe 24 by now.
Right.
But
in that last game, Florida went 0-5.
It was 19 after the first Florida game, so 24.
Yeah, and in the second of the two games, so the game last night, the Devils were 3-for-4 on the power play, and I think it was 3-for-3 when it finished on the PK. Mm-hmm. But it was only 3-for-4 because they had a 4-second power play during that section of the third period where there was like 4-on-4 for like 3 minutes.
Not a lot of
those
guys. These guys are feisty.
And we got to talk about the fights too.
Yeah,
talk about feisty, right. Man. Oh my! They wound up fighting Gadjevich
twice between the two games.
Dylan took him on Tuesday and got a few good licks in.
There was over 70 punches thrown in that fight. It was just
are you serious?
Over 70 punches. Gadjevich threw 37.
Forth.
They were just yucking haymakers.
Crazy.
One of the worst fights I've seen from a defensive standpoint, easily.
Wow. Oh yeah, no, they were not protecting
themselves at all.
So that was a candidate for like best fight of the year early in the season, and then you get last night's fight where McDermott, I'm pretty sure, gave Gadjevich a concussion.
Yeah,
Gadjevich still managed to drop McDermott.
He got a good last connection in, and he went down.
Yeah.
But
and how about Jack Hughes going after Anton Lundell?
I thought that was crazy. He tackled him along the boards.
Not that Lundell hit him with a cheap shot or anything, but Hughes got knocked over, wasn't happy about it.
It was the turnover near the blue line.
Yeah,
and then Hughes turned the puck over,
skated
got
back
mad
after
about
the whistle,
it.
And
yeah.
He was like, "It was a little cheap from Jack,
dumped
but
Lundell.
Like, but hey, like, I'd like to see some flair. I know there's a lot of teams who look at their star players and think these guys don't act like they care. Jack Hughes is really sort of embodying the spirit right now. It was a little dirty, but I don't mind him showing his colors.
And it doesn't feel like the Devils are like manufacturing problems with teams like they were last year or 2 years ago. They were kind of like creating problems where they didn't necessarily exist. Mm. On Tuesday night, the Devils got ahead, I think, by like 2 goals, and Florida's trying to get back into the game. I believe it was Sam Bennett
who
cross-checks Siegenthaler after the play, and then all the other Devils on the ice just converge on him immediately, and just like
how
there's punches
times
being
that
thrown
in the past few seasons
where it's been like the Devils' fault basically.
Yeah.
Like they instigate something and then act like it was them being fought against. But now their play is actually causing other teams such issues that they're like low-key crashing out on the ice, and then the response is there. But it's a legitimate one. It's
a hard team to play against.
Yeah. There is a technical aspect of the Devils that I've enjoyed watching, aside from the feistiness and the fights. Let's talk about the fact that your third D pair is on your penalty kill one unit. That's interesting for a team because, let's be real, the way it was drawn up before the season was you'd have Dylan and Hamilton on the first D pair, then you have Hughes and Pesci. because you want Pesci to balance out Hughes. Mm-hmm. And then your third is Siegenthaler and Kovacevic. Siegenthaler and Kovacevic have been your best defensemen this year.
Arguably been the best shutdown pairing in the NHL.
What gives?
Well, I have to... I think I've done this before now, but I'll do it again. I have to apologize to Jonathan Kovacevic because I wasn't the only one, but I thought he was brought in to be the seventh D, just a depth guy.
He was.
Because there's a couple big names on this blue line that are in Utica right now, including Simon Nemec, the former number two overall draft pick, who was excellent when he got brought up to the NHL last year. It looked like he would never play another AHL game again, but our new Covey, knocked him out of the lineup. Yeah. And then you've got Seamus Casey, who started the season with 3 goals in 6 games, and he's got to get sent down because Luke Hughes came back from injury.
Yeah,
this is a problem of riches on the Devils' blue line.
Which is insane, because last season it was like scraping for
we have to squeeze Brendan Smith into
bottom of the barrel.
Okay, so it is odd. I'm not bringing this up.
Yeah, and I think the sentiment definitely was that Kovacevic was going to be like an extra defenseman, maybe even like a healthy scratch most nights just because they don't have room. But I think the fact that Pesci and Luke Hughes were both injured to start the season, it gave him the spot where like, okay, we actually need to use you on the like second, third line until they come back. And he just took that opportunity and ran with it. Him and Siegenthaler, like we said, they've been the best pairing on the Devils defensively. And Kovacevic made it so that Sheldon Keefe really can't taking him out of the lineup.
Right. And I will say for Siegenthaler, 2023-24 was not his best year. He was injured for part of it. Now that he has started this season fully healthy, I think it looks a lot like what he looked like 2 years ago, where he was this breakout defensive defenseman that every team in the league would be lucky to have. Right. He's playing like that again. Kovacevic has been the perfect complement to that, which I never expected. Siegenthaler was always used to meant to counteract Dougie Hamilton essentially being the fourth forward. That was the pairing for a long time. But now they've got this great shutdown pairing. Brendan Dillon can do some of that work and also still be a physical presence next to Dougie Hamilton, although that pairing does tend to get victimized in the D-zone quite a bit. That's probably, I would say, their shakiest pairing defensively. And then Hughes and Pesci, both coming back from injury, Pesci and Hughes were always going to be squared into the lineup, so that meant Seamus Casey was probably always going to go down. People thought that would either be Kovacevic go to 7th D, and Simon Nemec stay in the lineup, but he's done because it's just been so good, and he'll have his time again in the NHL for sure. And I know you want to talk about Luke Hughes specifically.
That's what I was going to ask. It's a difficult question, but are you concerned with him at all about his? First of all, he was brought in as an offensive defenseman, hasn't been the production hasn't been there, but also the lapses on defense have become a little common now. Do you see any issues with Luke Hughes?
I think the defensive lapses were always common in his game, even at the college level. I think now more than ever, he has become a responsible defenseman. I think he back-to-back in these games against Florida, he's good for a gaffe every now and then in terms of like a bad change. He had a bad change against the Sharks that I remember very vividly. I personally think he's actually taken such tremendous strides defensively this season. I've been actually impressed with Luke Hughes quite a bit, and I think he's only taken steps in the right direction. I think playing next to Brett Pesci's only made him more responsible, and I'm proud of the way he's become more of a defensive guy. I'm glad that he went through some of those learning curves that he had to go through last year, and I think he's been better off for it.
And we talked about this when we were at Devils Islanders last weekend. Luke Hughes, it feels like a sophomore slump where he was injured to start the season, and obviously he's learning to play with Brett Pesci, and Brett Pesci's learning to play in New Jersey. Like there were growing pains to be expected, but I think like you said, James, with these two games in Florida, he looked a lot better defensively, even with the occasional lapse here or there. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest takeaway for me from the two games in Florida for Luke Hughes was that third period last night when the Devils were up by 3 and it was pretty much a foregone conclusion they were going to win because they were outskating the Panthers all night.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Hughes kind of like came out of his shell a little bit, started to skate with confidence. I saw one, they got an extra power play late in the third where Luke Hughes was out there. And he had the puck. He pretty much skated around the offensive zone like 3 times, looking for an open spot. And I was like, "Well, I haven't seen Luke Hughes do this in probably like probably this season. I don't think I've seen him like really just take control
job,
of the puck.
Though?
It's not his job, but if he starts to do that and doesn't like turn the puck over, it's basically like another Jack Hughes.
I mean, got to generate though, and I feel like Jack Hughes can generate chances a lot better than Luke Hughes.
This is true, but Jack Hughes started the season not generating very much either. I mean, he didn't fire out of the gates like we thought Jack Hughes would. I mean, lately though, he's playing at a pace where he's gonna hit 70 more points
so
this
fast.
Season. He's insanely good at hockey. Luke Hughes, I mean, it was a bit of a curve at the start of the season. I think he probably should be picking up more points than he has been. He gets power play time sometimes as well. So I guess I'm not so concerned about it because I've been more impressed with his ability defensively this season than I have in seasons past.
Okay. All right, I think we'll leave that there. The New Jersey Devils will play the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in Tampa Bay.
I'm assuming it's Vasilevskiy versus Markstrom for that one.
Probably.
That'll be a good goalie matchup.
That will
to watch.
Be a good goalie matchup to watch. Let's talk about the next most important team in the New York metropolitan area, which is the New York Islanders. They're on a nice little road trip here. They were down 3-1 to the Edmonton Oilers with 7 minutes left in the game and took them to overtime. So against a team that you can argue is a juggernaut in the West, you'll take that. Patrick Waugh was in a good mood. There's been a lot of loser points recently, which is the New York Islanders brand, whatever, fine. But then you go into Vancouver and you thump them. Like, this was not even a close game. Rick Tocchet, the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, said after the game, "I apologize to the fans. We're not playing good enough at home. It's on me. Guys played light tonight. I thought we were ready to go, and we weren't. It's on me." That's because the Islanders put together an excellent performance. Bo Horvat had 2 assists. The final score was 5-2 at Rogers Arena.
Could have been more as well. There were like 2 disallowed goals in the third period.
Exactly. Bo Horvat, it's his first win against the Canucks since changing teams. He says it feels good to finally get my first win against these guys. They've lost 3 times to the Canucks since. Anders Lee had a goal and an assist. He's on a nice little streak now that we haven't really seen since the beginning of COVID, I would say. How about that for a Lee surgence, you guys?
Is that why you wrote that?
That is why I wrote that.
You didn't catch that?
No, I mean, like, I assumed why, but I didn't think you were going to actually say it.
I said it.
Well, I'm happy.
I'm gonna give you a taste of your own medicine. Shut up, Nick.
Yeah, that's deserved there. But how about it? Like, this was not... I'll be real. Most of Anders Lee's goals are on rebounds and when someone decides to leave them open, back door. That said, he has to make himself available to be open back door, which in the last 3 years has been appearing to be more and more difficult for him. This year, it seemed like a breath of fresh air. He has been as aggressive in the slot as possible, and it's shown, and he's picking up points here and there. Not even here and there. It's almost every game for him. So how about that?
I'll say this first about the Canucks before I say anything about the Islanders.
They were bad.
Well, no. I'm not even going to say that they were bad. This is now the second time this show that we've talked about a team going into Vancouver and get a gallivanting win for their team. And I think we spoke about the season, about teams that would be good in the West. Vancouver was high on everybody's list because, of course, they were terrific last year. But Thatcher Demko's injury, I think, is starting to now be more of a hindrance than maybe we thought it would be at the beginning. Excellent goaltender, hasn't been proven very long term that he can be an elite starter, but they're missing him, and I think they need him. They need him badly. He was an all-star last year, and he's really that good. I will say this about the Islanders: the consistency issue, we've been talking about this for years. I mean, the ability to string wins together has not been a quality that the Islanders have boasted very well, but they always get these pockets where they have, you know, big performances where, you know, they probably should have beaten the Devils. They probably should have beaten the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
And then they go into Vancouver and they get a big win against a good team. I mean, they string together good performances. It's a matter of, can they get the result over the finish line? And I think, you know, having done back-to-back wins against
Pittsburgh and what was it, Ottawa?
Yeah.
I think that they showed, you know, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat too.
Yeah.
And you said that sentiment about the Flyers, but the Islanders are right there with the teams that you argue that maybe they shouldn't beat, or in some cases they go ahead and they beat them bad.
I guess the reason it feels saltier with the Islanders is they give away a lot of games.
This is this is true.
Case in point to the New Jersey Devils. They tend to do that a lot, which makes it feel like, yeah, we are where we are in the standings, but also take the loser point with a grain of salt. It never feels good to get the loser point. I don't care where it puts you in the standings. There's a reason all Islanders fans are miserable. It's because we get the loser point all the time, and it doesn't feel like we're winning.
Do we think the NHL should switch to the IIHF 3-2-1 points scoring system?
LP says yes.
Oh, I'm very in favor of it.
Wait, so it's three for regulation
three
win.
Three for regulation win, two for overtime shootout, and then one for overtime shootout loss.
Oh, okay.
So you don't get rid of the loser point. You still play games to a winner loser, but you get more credit for a regulation.
You get more credit for just winning without going to overtime.
Which, because teams built for overtime, there are teams that are built for overtime, dude, and they end up winning a lot of games. Edmonton Oilers. well, it's true.
Yeah.
They end up winning a lot of overtime games, and that puts them over the top. Touching back onto the Islanders after that good streak, the fourth line has really been producing, and some defensemen as well. Scott Mayfield put up a goal. Pierre Engvall, Noah Dobson, they each got their first goal of the season. Which
look at Pierre Engvall go. He was liability when we were at the UBS Arena.
two games. I don't care what Patrick Waugh says. This is another thing.
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh's a little too positive for me, man.
Hmm.
I expected for him to come in to be, like, not to be a drill sergeant, but...
What, after the Devils loss?
No, when he came in from Lane Lambert.
Oh, okay.
Lambert was all talk, giving excuses. I thought the reason they brought in Patrick Waugh was to be like, hey, this is some dude with some fire in his belly. He knows what it means to win. All he did was win as a player. He's going to bring it. And maybe it's because he's a coach's coach or a player's coach. But, you know, I don't feel like he takes losses heavily enough. And maybe that's just me from the outside. But regardless... Semyon Varlamov makes 24 saves in this game. Islanders win. They're on a good little streak. How about it?
Yeah,
I'm happy for the Islanders, and I think what they're just now sneakily holding on to the second wild card in the East
the
moment, tied with was it Boston?
Yeah.
Or no, Boston should be third in the Atlantic.
No, they're tied with the Caps.
Tied with the Caps.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about those Caps?
And honestly,
dude?
Caps—they're just a problem.
The Caps have I was sour on the Caps coming into the season. In a way that a lot of people weren't, and I was like, I think putting too much stock into these Capitals, and they've been quite good. They've shut me up, and it's bothering me.
And the Islanders are banged up too. Like this isn't This definitely is not a 100% Islanders team. But I think the pairing of, or not the pairing, but like the goalie tandem of Sorokin and Varlamov is doing a great job, just like keeping the team afloat.
Sorokin's having a great year.
He is.
The numbers are pretty similar.
Barzal, IR. Pelech, IR.
Yeah.
Duclair, IR. Romanov's day-to-day.
He's been day-to-day for like a week and a half.
Mike Riley, too.
Missing big Mike Riley.
Yeah.
He was really good last year. It's gotten to the point, and I asked, who did I ask about this? I think I asked Casey Cizikas about how the three defensemen filling in from Bridgeport have been doing. That includes Dennis Cholowski, who in the game that I was covering, he scores a goal, which was nice. Isaiah George, who I thought has looked fantastic. He is the future. And Grant Hutton last night picked up two assists, his first two of his NHL career. So good job, Grant Hutton.
Look at the next man up Islanders.
Next man up Islanders.
Go.
That's what they've been, and
they've
that's what they'll continue to do. But it only matters if Dobson picks up his play. That's really all it hinges on. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about the perennial chokers. Sorry, let's talk about the New York Rangers. 1994.
Oh, man.
They won. They beat the San Jose Sharks, everybody.
Just ruthless. Hey. You know, it's not
beating the Sharks, not for everybody.
Yeah, true. And it's not often that we get to put the Rangers at the bottom of the pile in the order of teams
that
we talk
about. I did this on purpose. I felt good putting the Rangers last because all they do is get primacy.
Yeah. They at least go one or two.
They at
least
go one or two. They're last, and we're going to spend the least amount of time on them, too. 3-2 win over the San Jose Sharks and Barclay Goodrow, who they screwed over.
Yeah, how is there no hard feelings on either side anymore? But they gave him a tribute video.
They
like clapped him up. It's like, all right.
Unbelievable. The absolute dirty that they did Barclay Goodrow over the offseason. Let's be real. The main story of this game, though, James, is that Keandre Miller's shoulder runs into Philip Hedl's head. And after a couple concussions, it's looking a little dicey. This would be his fourth concussion. If it is a concussion, there's no proof of that. They said he's day-to-day. However, how bad would it be for Philip Hedl to be out once again for an extended period of time in a Ranger season?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but you posed the question to me. And I'm someone who's had a lot of head injuries, at least playing sports when I was a kid. And
have you been concussed?
Yeah, several times. And it's not fun.
No.
It's not fun at all. And I still get like headaches all the time. So I get migraines. It's probably cause something I inherited from family, but not something that's necessarily related to head injuries. But
it could be
worsened by it. I got really bad migraines still to this day. So this stuff lingers with you.
Mm.
I'm not going to. You can't tell just from contact watching something whether or not it's a concussion. Based on the way he reacted, is usually when you can tell pretty clearly whether or not someone's concussed.
But if it's he did play 1 minute in the third period and then came off.
Yeah, and he might have just said to himself something's a little off and is just taking precaution. Generally, that's what you are taught to do after you've had one of these injuries, and good on him for doing that. I hope everything's fine. If it's day-to-day, they're just going to be checking him out. Hopefully, it's nothing serious.
I think it's good that he skated for at least a minute and like wasn't completely useless. You know, like we've seen guys get head injuries in sports in general. I mean, look at Tua. Mm-hmm. We've seen what a nasty concussion looks like, the immediate like physical reaction of a player who's been concussed.
Right.
Like we didn't get that for Hedl, so I think that's something to maybe hang
that's
your
good.
Hat on.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I think it's also important to acknowledge that people talk about like concussions and like compare the severity between them, like mild concussions versus like really bad concussions. I refrain on calling any form of concussion mild. Even if, you know, like you could return to action in a few weeks, it's really important that you don't downplay any sort of head injury, anything related to the brain. Your brain is responsible for every function of your body, essentially. So you have to treat a mild concussion like a severe injury.
Especially multiple.
Yes.
Like when you've experienced multiple, obviously it's like, it's more dangerous.
And Hedl's had three.
The more you keep playing. Yeah, like this is.
And look, he's not the only hockey player like that. Like
no,
Sidney Crosby's
well,
had like
no.
a dozen.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of teammates growing up who had to quit playing hockey because they got too many concussions.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, when, I suppose, like, when does it start creeping into your mind? Like, oh, is he going to start thinking about hanging him up?
That's the only reason my mom let me play hockey is if I was a goaltender because I wouldn't get concussed.
I mean, I feel like you definitely still could as a goaltender.
Oh,
but
for
you don't,
sure, but
you don't
it's less
get
likely.
Hit.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
At least
much.
Not on purpose.
Sure, yeah. A Shea Weber
well,
slap shot might.
Yeah.
And I've had
if you take it
shot,
straight to my, the forehead, yeah.
Without going on too much of a tangent, my first hockey coach when I was 13 was this Armenian guy named Lav. And when I was just first learning to play, I first learned as a goalie. I wasn't a skater. Mm-hmm. And in our first practices, he would take me aside to one half of the ice and line 10 pucks up on the blue line and would have me stand in goal. I mean, this is a muscular, like, 30-year-old
Armenian
dude.
Just getting you
dude.
Used to getting hit with shots.
And just rifle me with 95-mile-an-hour slap shots. Ugh. I was barely a skater.
Did he have
at this
to
point.
Tie you into the goal like Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks? Or?
Dude, it made me not be afraid of the puck. But tangents aside, concussions are serious.
Yeah.
I
hope it's not.
I hope it's not.
This is not.
Yeah, gotta hope it's not.
Something
not a
that I don't know how I can segue this, but I'm gonna try. Something that feels like a fever dream is that Mika Zibanejad produced in their last game. LP, I know you wanted to jump in on this. What's your take on the Rangers 3-2 win over the San Jose Sharks, and what do you got
to
say?
Well, I wanted to, before we like jump into that, about Hedel.
Yeah.
So yesterday when that happened, he went to the locker room and came back for a shift. So
right.
I thought everything was fine, and I actually didn't see the play happen, so I just heard people say it was friendly fire. And then they start the period on the power play, and you see Zach Jones hop over the board instead of Hedel. So that's when the alarm bells are going on in my head, like, right. Uh-oh, this might be severe. And the whole rest of that game, that line, that third line of Cooley, Hedel, Kako has been the Rangers' best line this year.
It's been fantastic.
They've outscored opponents either 11-0 or 12-0 when they're on the ice. They've been like the one bright spot with a Rangers team that offensively really hasn't been that good.
5-on-5, that line has outscored opponents 11-0.
And they've been like, obviously, the zero. It's ridiculous. They've been great on the defensive end too.
Right.
When Hedel came off out of the game yesterday, Kaapo Kakko and Will Cooley, as much as I love those two guys, and you know I love those two guys, they looked like nothing without Hedel. But to be fair, like Trocheck took a few shifts with them. Sam Carrick took a few shifts with them. But the detriment of a guy like Filip Hedel going down to this Rangers roster that is not offensively been great, and we'll obviously talk about Mika Zibanejad, but it's huge, and it's terrifying to think of a season without Filip Hedel.
Well, let me ask you about Mika Zibanejad, because he got the first star of the game. It was his third goal of the season, and he was on an 8-game scoreless streak coming in to the night. It couldn't have come at a better time. What are you seeing from Mika Zibanejad? Because one goal, while it might be a confidence boost, an 8-game scoreless streak from a guy who's supposed to be putting up 100 points in a season is not ideal.
And I think it's one of those things where you guys go on scoreless streaks, but they're still playing well. He hadn't been playing well. In the right. Winnipeg game, he wasn't credited with 3 turnovers, but he was the most recent puck carrier that led to the Winnipeg goals. And it's just, like, for me as a fan, I saw him, you know, peak in 2022. He played awesome. 2023-2024 season, he didn't play great, but he wasn't terrible. But
good on the power play.
Well, that's kind of been the story of his career, but he just looks uninspired out there and just doesn't look like he's having fun, which, like, there is a human side to this, and you start to feel bad. And so you hope a goal like that can get him going. And I know that last night Fox actually mentioned, I thought this was really cool, that, like, because Zibanejad, there was an article, there's been a bunch of articles out there about his struggles, and Fox was basically like, yeah, that stuff doesn't make it into the locker room, but Mika has been open with the team about like his mental state and that it's not great
right.
because of this huge slump that he's on. So like his teammates were, I don't want to say they were happier that he was the guy to get the momentum changing goal, because I think they would have been happy for anyone to score it. But I do think like the team morale was just a little bit higher than it could have been if anyone else had scored, because they saw Zibanejad get on the board, because he's such an important part of the team. And I've seen a lot of Rangers fans say that this team this year, it's not as fun as previous seasons, and
right. They're
just not that enjoyable to watch. And I think part of that is because the reason the Rangers have been so enjoyable to watch these past few seasons is the power of friendship. And it just seems like because Kreider and Mika haven't been good, like that magical friendship team isn't there.
But was it really friendship if all it rested on was its players playing well?
Well,
is that really the power of friendship, or is that the power of your players are playing well and it feels good? Sorry, I'm here to dunk on the Rangers. No, but the Rangers do defeat the San Jose Sharks 3-2. The Sharks were 5-2-1 in their last 8 going into New York.
Yeah, they're definitely not the same Sharks team from last year. Like, you can't really write them off.
They're still the 5th worst team in the NHL.
Like yes, but like at the same time, like you can't go into a game against the Sharks thinking like that. You have to take them very seriously, or they'll burn you. They do. I mean,
Mikael Granlund is pretty good.
That kid Macklin.
Macklin Celebrini's pretty good. Fabian Zetterlund is quite good, actually. Yeah. And,
Tyler Toffoli.
Even though he can't skate, he's good.
Yeah. He's been good for a long time.
I love that guy.
I love Tyler Toffoli, too. That's something we can all bond over, is our love for Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, I don't, sure. like, I guess. Yeah.
He was like the leading scorer on a Devils team that was never going to be capable of functioning properly.
He exists in my mind in the same realm as P.A. Parenteau and Lee Stempniak, you know?
Right.
It's like just a very weird pocket of Devils history.
He's
where
better than both of those
guys. He was
guys,
the entire offense.
Yeah.
Well, but before we wrap this up, just so you know, tomorrow the Islanders will play the Kraken in Seattle, and then the day after, the Rangers will play the Kraken.
The Rangers
in
got
Seattle.
So lucky on that draw. Like, the Islanders have to play Seattle on an off day, and then the Rangers get to play them on a back-to-back where they just played the Islanders. Like, that's
it's almost as if the NHL script writers have been trying to favor the Rangers so hard, but no matter how hard they try, the Rangers can't win a Stanley Cup.
Before we move from the Rangers, though, what is up with like, the Shesterkin deal? Like, are they going to sign him?
So,
are they not going to sign?
Kevin
Weeks posted a week ago 11.5 with the New York Skyline, and nothing happens.
You're a big fan of Stan Fischler?
Do you follow him
on Twitter?
I do follow him on
Twitter.
Do
you see what he posts about Shesterkin every single day?
Dude.
He calls him, like, cash grab, Iggy Piggy.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's just like, Stan Fischler, just the maven, like, just goes, been on MSG forever, just goes all in on hating Shesterkin for asking for a lot of money.
It is
kind of, people are like, dude, like, you're going a little too crazy.
It's not ridiculous
like,
for him to ask for that money.
I'm like,
the
it's
Rangers
funny,
Bank of Shesterkin is awaiting an offer already.
Yeah, this is the great Stan Fischler.
Dude, ever since he moved to Israel, he lives in Israel now and watches hockey games. Yeah, he writes from Israel. He lives in Israel.
Interesting.
It's interesting.
So when does he have to watch games at, like, what time is it over there, like, compared to us?
He watches games in the morning.
Yeah, it would be like early-ish morning.
Right, so, and then he writes about it in the afternoon and has dinner at 4 o'clock like people in their, you know, 80s do, and then and then goes to sleep at a prompt 7:30. I love Stan Fischler, by the way. That's not...
good for him, I guess.
Good for Stan.
Who knows when Shesty will sign with the Rangers, or if he will sign with the Rangers.
Dude.
Still up for
I think
grabs,
12
I
plus.
I thought Kevin Weeks, when he was like 11.5 question mark, was something he said, right?
Yeah. That was like,
I feel like it's going to be something like that. I cannot see him playing in a uniform that isn't a Rangers uniform.
I got some breaking news. Romanov wearing a regular practice jersey for the Islanders today in Seattle. No longer non-contact orange.
Okay. There you go.
Romanov could be on his way back. That would be huge for Noah Dobson. Good heavens. All right, well, let's finish this with a fun segment, because I always like to have a fun segment on 5-on-3. WFEV's Best If Only Hockey Podcast. I forgot to say that at the beginning. All right, well, let's play a game, shall we? Pick a team to make the playoffs this year. LP, I want you in on this, too.
Devils.
They didn't even finish the prompt.
That missed the playoffs last year.
And that's why you could say the Devils.
And why do you think that they'll make the playoffs this year? James, why is it the New Jersey Devils?
Because last year was a fluke year that was marred by injuries and historically bad goaltending.
And Lindy Ruff.
for at least 70% of that season. And this team is really good. People kind of knew that. The players are too good for this team not to be in the playoffs. And they're starting to play that way now. It's an easy answer because it's the right answer. Of the teams that missed the playoffs last year, they were the most obvious good team that's missing. I'm biased, of course. As I grew up a diehard Devils fan, I cover the Devils for WFUV Sports, but that is the objective truth. This team is too good not to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the easiest answer. It was the first thing that came to my head.
You're not
too,
allowed to
when
copy.
I was thinking about this team. No, I didn't copy.
Okay.
I purposefully did not pick the Devils because I knew that James was going to pick the
Good
Devils.
Good on you, yes. Tuck.
So, my team, and I mentioned this earlier in the show.
Yeah, and this is the only other like right pick, I feel like.
Yeah, my pick, who's going to make the offs this year that didn't last year, it's the Minnesota Wild. Hello, Minnesota.
There's only like two teams that are in a playoff spot right now.
Actually, the Western Conference is a little more open than the East. I think in the East, the only change is the Devils and the Lightning. Just pretty much swap them out, and then the rest of the teams are almost identical. Oh, minus the Islanders.
Can we be real?
No, the Islanders made it last year, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The Capitals have a massive asterisk
next to
their name.
Playoff last year.
Yeah,
because the worst playoff team in NHL history.
Ever.
Yes.
All right. LP,
but anyway,
do you have an answer? Because I got to change mine from the Wild.
Yours is the Wild?
Mine was the Wild. Now I got to change it. LP, you got one?
Well, don't think there's any like good options left. I would have said the Devils, and then I think the Wild would be my second.
I think there's two solid options left.
I have another one that
I had a team that I thought could be a sleeper this year, and I don't think this is going to be the year that they finally.
Can I guess?
Sure.
I think you're going to say Utah Hockey.
I was going to say
Utah. And that's the
Utah.
Other team I would have said too.
I think that they have like the perfect amount of young star talent that could blossom into something while going out and getting like established players like a Sergachev. I don't think they've put it all together yet. I think because of their ages, like the young guys, it's a little too inconsistent. But
yeah.
Guys like Gunther, the second best coolie in the league, like they're electric. Clayton Keller.
Yeah.
Just, I think they're a good team, and I think they're fun to watch, but I think the West is a little too competitive.
So Sergachev makes a big difference on that team.
Carol Vejmelka is quite good right now as well. Fourth in the league in goals saved above expected.
You're all wrong, though.
Go ahead.
The team that's going to make the playoffs that didn't make the playoffs last
Detroit.
Year, finally, no.
Is it the Sabres?
Oh, no, it's going to be Buffalo.
Wrong.
Ottawa.
It's the Ottawa Senators.
No way.
I was looking at Ottawa.
Dude, this team, are we ignoring the fact that this week they wiped the Maple Leafs 3-0? Are we going to ignore that? That they beat the Boston Bruins in overtime?
Stink.
I was looking. But
are we ignoring this?
But this is the issue with the Sens, though. It's because I was looking at them.
They don't beat the bad teams.
I was going to say, yeah, they literally do not beat the teams that they are supposed to beat. They win all their games against teams that they have no business beating.
I don't care.
And then just proceed to not beat anyone. They lost the second game of the season to the Canadiens. I'd like
look.
Where are the other losses? They lost to the Sabres, lost to the Islanders, lost to the Flyers. Like
you guys picked all the good teams. I'm trying to deal with the scraps.
It got pretty thin there, admittedly, Nick. So I'm gonna cut you slack. I'll actually give you some backup because generally I don't believe that the teams who struggle against the bottom of the league while still being competitive against the best teams ever actually make it to the playoffs.
That's
those teams
true.
Usually crash and burn at a certain point. And Ottawa, while they do have the goaltending this year, probably doesn't have the depth all through their squad.
I like their top six,
though.
The
top six is fantastic. Great young team. I love the way the Senators are set up for the future. They remind me of where the Devils were a couple years ago. Now, this is what Money Puck has for the playoff odds currently. The live playoff odds have the Hurricanes at a 98% chance,
sure.
The Devils at 96,
sure.
The Panthers at 95, mm-hmm. The Capitals at 87, and then the next highest team in the East at 86.7% is the Ottawa Senators.
I don't know about
that. Ahead of the Lightning, ahead of the Rangers, ahead of the Leafs.
Ahead of the Islanders.
Ahead of the Islanders. There's several teams that are ahead of the Islanders as well, including Detroit. They're within
That's
one
ridiculous.
Point.
That is
they're within
wild.
0.1% of the Buffalo Sabres.
All right. Well, the Money Puck had the Islanders at 8.8%. chance of making the playoffs a month out from the playoffs, and they still made it.
Oh, I think that percentage, it's probably the... It's the loser points. It's the loser points.
Yeah.
Right now, the Islanders lead the NHL in OT losses.
Yes.
Like it's
they
short sample
they
size,
not.
But they have four, and nobody else does.
Also, take these with a grain of salt, because in January of 2019, the St. Louis Blues were at 0.something% and won the Stanley Cup that year. So
I just want you to think about the Ottawa Senators now that they have Linus Ullmark as their goaltender.
Oh,
it's a big difference.
It is a
yeah,
huge difference.
Like he's been there, and like it's been known that Ullmark is in Ottawa for like a while now. But for whatever reason, that like just thinking about the Sens, I just didn't like that connection. Just doesn't get made that often. It should be more,
dude. Their first power play unit is Tkachuk, Stützle, Batherson, Sanderson, and Norris.
Yeah,
that's
sexy.
Disgusting.
That's sexy. That's good.
And their PK is Norris, Giroux, Jensen, and Zub. That's good, dude. Even having Anton Forsberg as your backup is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, this is a well-rounded team. My question is, when you know they got 40 games behind them in the season, and the wear and tear starts to break up, and then someone in the top six isn't available, and Noah Gregor has to co-play top 6 minutes. Is this team going to continue to score goals? Is their blue line going to get a little broken up? Because I think I like Sanderson, Zub, Chabot, Jensen, but Klevin and Travis Hamonic, it's a shaky pairing compared to the rest of the lineup. But I don't think that this team is a write-off. I think they absolutely have a chance to make the playoffs in a more open Eastern Conference than has been in several seasons.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us here on 5-on-3. I'd like to thank you all for listening. It's been Lydia Perner behind the glass. But, you know, we're going to change this now. Instead of behind the glass, it'll be between the pipes. Lydia Perner's been between the pipes. James Burley, Tucker Austin, our two Devils beat reporters. I've been your Islanders beat reporter, Nick Palmer. Thank you all for listening, guys, and come back next week.